This is the Lindell Report, bringing you news combined with hope by offering practical and achievable action points to assist you in defending and preserving faith and freedoms. And now, here is your host, Mike Lindell.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Lindell Report. Brandon, what do we have for tonight?
We've got the Red Pill Girls coming on to talk about Maricopa County, Arizona.
Who are they? You got it. I know who they are. Tell everyone who
they are. Two activists out of Arizona, and they've been tracking.
No, aren't they out of Utah?
Oh, they're out of Utah. Sorry, but I think they're talking about Arizona tonight.
Yeah, they're going to talk about Arizona. These they've got.
Maybe you should introduce them.
they're, put it this way, they're awesome. They're like just some more patriots that have been doing everything in this country a lot more than a lot of the leaders of the RNC or the leader of the RNC.
That's true. As far as Peru goes, I just did an update on Peru. I just looked that up, Mike. In Peru, I guess their president thought he was going to be in trouble. So he went ahead and tried to dissolve the Congress, thought maybe he had the military on his side. He didn't have the military on his side. Congress refused to be controlled. He gets arrested. He's gone. And the former vice president, her first name, Dina, was sworn in as president, Peru's first female leader, and she intends to serve until 2026.
That's what I thought. I just called you before the show started. Yep. I was very excited, and you were kind of going, no, that's, you know. And
so I had to go look it up and get an update. Right. The last I heard, he was going to try to sit and stay in power. The last report I heard is he was going to try to stay in power, and then I went and got an update. Nope, he's gone.
Right. Well, here's what we have, everybody. We're talking about three different things. We're going to say what they all have in common. So you have Peru, this guy that was put in power down there, I believe it was 2021. He's a communist. He was put in power by the voting machines using computers. And the country, they didn't vote for him. He was selected. He was, at that time, it was the second to last country to fall in South America to the cabal, to the machines, to the communists. And then not only, if you just heard Brandon there, the country said, no, we're not going to take this. He tried to dissolve the Congress, and just sounds like they arrested him, and now the vice president's in. Now let's go to the next current election about a month and a half ago. President Bolsonaro, down in Brazil, everybody, they are going around the military and arresting cartel members and going after these backers of Lula, who was a former president, who was in prison for crimes against the country of Brazil, and he's a communist, and he was let out early. Get this, you can't make this stuff up. He was let out early. This is what the United States media will not tell you over here, okay? This is what all the journalists that are watching, they won't even print this because it's news. They're too busy writing the garbage they just wrote about me, and I'm going to bring that up in a minute. They let him out of prison to run for office, to run for president again. They cheat Bolsonaro out of 30 million votes, everybody. And they just have machines. They have no paper, same day voting, just machines. They tried to get paper a year ago. They wouldn't let it. They said, no, we're not going to have paper, not for this crooked election. We got to have just the machines. And Brandon, I don't know if you have that tape. Do you have the tape, or we can?
Yeah, we have, this is.
Why don't
where...
we show the tape quick of Brazil?
Yeah, this is a very well known Indian chief, if you will. He's wearing the headdress like we would expect for American Indians, but he's obviously from Brazil. He is speaking before their Congress, and it goes by very fast. So read the subtitles. Here we go.
Presidente Jair Bolsonaro. Estamos esperando mais o quê? Todo já sabe, está visualmente que foi fraudada a nossa eleição. Se não fosse, já tinha aberto o código-fonte entregado para as autoridades apresentar à população.
All right.
There you go. So everybody, if you read that real quick, what he's saying is, everybody knows here in Brazil our election was stolen. If you're telling us it wasn't stolen, then why don't you open up the machines and show us the source code?
That's right.
Show us the truth. But guess what, everybody in Brazil, they won't show on the machines, or any other country in the world for that matter. Someone called me today and said we should use blockchain. Well, it doesn't matter if you can't look at it. Everybody, we're going to do another quick election here between Brandon and I. I'm going to write a number on my hand here, Brandon.
Okay.
We're going to do a thing here. Pick a number, one or two.
Two.
No, it was one again. You lost again. It was one, but it was close.
All right.
You want to see it? Make sure.
Yes, I do.
You can't.
Yeah, that's how it works. And that's what he said.
You lost another election. Yeah.
And that's what he said. He said, look, he said, open the source code and hand it over to the authorities. Open the source code and hand it over to the authorities.
Right. But they won't. And then what we're going to have on tonight, when Jen comes on, is it just Jen or both the gals are coming on?
It's both of them. It's both of them.
Okay. And what we have here, you guys, we're going to talk about the crooked election, our midterms. And they're going to show all evidence all through Arizona. What did we just show what Fox had to say about this? Is that what was up there?
Well, we can.
I just seen that a second ago.
we can look but, to see.
Anyway, I'm going to tell everyone before they come on. This is the journalists. All you journalists watching right now, this one here I had to call out because it's just absolutely a lie and disgusting. The journalist is Jennifer Wood. Horrible, horrible, horrible. I just call it pure evil person. And I'm going to say that. By a no-name thing called Uproxx Viral. Wacky pillow man Mike Lindell is pissed at Tucker Carlson and Fox News for not letting him on the air to campaign to be head of the RNC. Probably the biggest lie I've ever heard. That Mike Lindell's pissed at Tucker Carlson and Fox News. No, you know what was said here? Then she goes down and she writes all this stuff. Here's how she starts out her article. Mike Lindell, the conspiracy theorist and once omnipresent pillow infomercial pitchman, like I'm still not on TV pitching pillows, right? Whose company actually has an F rating with the Better Business Bureau. That's true. She did write a true statement, but it's so relevant in this time we're in. Is ready for his next challenge, being in charge of the Republican Party, something Seth Meyers cannot wrap his head around. And she goes on and on. Then she gets down here, and now here's what they did. They're bringing up to discuss many reasons why a crack addict, Mike Lindell went on his Frank speech, his own live stream, to discuss all the reasons why a crack addict turned pillow salesman who has spent an estimated $40 million of his own money to push bogus theories about the 2020 presidential election being rigged is the right person to lead the GOP. Well, let me tell you something, Miss Jennifer Wood. I've spent most of my money on getting rid of them, trying to get rid of these machines to save your country so you'll actually have a job when this is all done, Jennifer Wood. And it keeps going on. It goes down. It's just so disgusting. But you get down to the bottom. She never says anything. Oh, here's where she gets the headline from, Brandon. Mike Lindell said, I wonder if Fox News is going to let me come on and say that too, because they had someone else running for, they had Harmeet on, and she's also running for the chair. And all I said was, I wonder if Fox News is going to let me come on and say that too. I don't know. Good headline, Jennifer Wood. But Brandon, this, you know, it's ones like these that just, it just disgusts me. And it's not, Jennifer Wood doesn't even have the, I don't know if she doesn't have my phone number. I'm pretty sure she would. Jennifer, why don't you call me for comment? You know? Why don't you call me for some of these things here if you're looking for some facts? You know, anyway, I just get so disgusted because we're in it. Not that I don't care what they say about me. What I care about is that they would report stuff that's relevant to right now. You know, like we're going to report right here.
Right.
Instead, the journalists sit there and they're going to look for sound bites out of this airing of what they can do to attack Mike Lindell and get a headline. Mike Lindell is pissed at Tucker Carlson and Fox News. Absolutely not true. You know, when you talk for that thing, am I upset with Fox News on other stuff? Yeah. Not Tucker Carlson, but Fox News. Yeah. I always say, don't go Fox on me. You know, what is, but it's the stuff they're writing in there is if you read the whole article, and I decided not even to read the other garbage because it goes back when we started Frank Speech even talking about their failed network. Well, let me tell you, this failed network has over 4 million people on it now. And by the way, if you're out there, everybody, get our app, Frank Speech, our app, Frank Social. We have Frank Social and Frank Speech. Get them at the App Store. We're on Roku TV. We put out every day. We have two 24/7 channels here. So many people, you know, they're Diamond and Silk, Roger Stone, Steve Bannon, Emma Robinson. Let's see, Brandon House. We've got so much to offer here to get our voice out, and then that's what takes the headlines. So what do we got? What do we got, Brandon?
Well, I got a couple things here real quick. I want to finish sending this text. I'm pulling a Mike Lindell over here and sending texts at the same time about upcoming programming. We got some big news coming tonight here on Lindell TV. Last night I had on a former federal DA from Brazil, live from Brazil. She's also a congresswoman, and she told me something I did not know. You mentioned it a while ago. And that was Lula, the former president of Brazil, was let out of prison early, okay? He was let out of prison early. If he were still in prison for his corruption, which was supposed to have been at least an 8-year term, and maybe more on additional charges, up to 13 years, he wouldn't even be around to run. I went and looked it up real quick. This report says here he did, after 18 months or a year and a half behind bars, leftist Brazilian former president Lula, as they call him, has been released from prison. He had been arrested on charges of corruption and money laundering.
Yeah. Now, I want to comment right there, everybody. Everybody wrap your head around that. How about your journalist from that watch us from overseas? You know who you are. I don't even have to name you. And you're living, a lot of you are living in communist countries. Some maybe in China, okay? And you see this right now, and you're not reporting this. Here's a guy that was president, let's say it was your country, but president of Brazil, this Lula, he's a communist, and he does crimes against the country, corruption. So they put him in prison for 8 years, okay? Then you have a guy, President Bolsonaro. He's a favorite like no other in Brazil has ever seen. Millions came out for his campaign. Millions upon millions upon millions upon millions. So this guy decides to run. And Bolsonaro, by the way, about a year ago, the Congress went to get a paper put in to their country instead of these machines or even next to them. So the same day you would vote here and you'd have an exact copy replica of a paper here and it could be counted. That was it. And you know what? It got shut down. And then they come up with this thing. No, and we're going to let Lula out of prison early to run for office. And there's more. And if you badmouth him and you say he's a criminal, you too could go to prison.
And by the way, who was it that ruled that? Who ruled that were what we're told were three members of the Supreme Court who make up their electoral court. The electoral court, three members who help make up the total Supreme Court. Now, who is it that let Lula out of prison? The Supreme Court. Look at this.
Right.
The 74-year-old politician's appealing his conviction of corruption and money laundering in relation to the renovation of a beachfront apartment. He had been serving an 8-year prison sentence after being arrested under a corruption probe referred to as car wash in the Portuguese language. Okay, now, he's serving 8 years, Down here, they say that he was going to have a second thing going on here, and it could do almost 13 years, handed a prison sentence of almost 13 years for corruption. He was already serving time over similar charges that supporters say were politically motivated. Right. Now, who lets him out? Look at this. The Supreme Court of Brazil rules less than a day before that person can be imprisoned, only after the appeals have been exhausted. So the Supreme Court says you can't be in prison until all your appeals are exhausted. So therefore, they let him and reportedly 5,000 people out. The same court that lets him out has three people that say, that make up the electoral court, if you call him a former criminal or a communist, we can fine you civilly. And others now are worried since the Supreme Court, head of the Supreme Court, seems to think he runs the police and is making things up, not based on the law, but on opinion. Many people are saying, well, we don't know that they couldn't charge us civilly. Right. We do know they could do that, but they may be able to do it criminally, which is why Alan DeSantos, one of the most famous conservative broadcasters in Brazil, left Brazil in 2020, cannot go back or he'll be arrested. So the same court that let him out is the same court that says you can't call him anything, which is the same court that apparently is controlling him, a 74-year-old that the former federal AG said is dying of cancer, has cancer, and she says is a puppet. She says, does that sound familiar to any other country you know where you have an older guy who doesn't seem to be all there, who's a puppet?
That's right. And also, does that Supreme Court there, those three, not to be compared to our Supreme Court, but they control the elections, and they're there, and they're there, and they're saying what to everybody in Brazil? You can't look inside the machines. Come on. What do you mean? We told you who won. We told you who won. Our cyber guys, they looked into it. It was almost 20 million votes. 20 million votes watching that election. Flipped. 20 million, Brandon. Okay. Which would make sense if you did canvassing there. If everybody knows what canvassing is, when you do a whole section and you're asking people who they voted for, did they vote, and all this, and you're comparing it. If you there, they don't have any way to compare it to what the machines are telling them. But you could go out there and do an after poll. I guess it would just be a poll. It really wouldn't be canvassing. You're doing a poll, and it's it would match up to the votes that we believe are missing, the 20 million votes are that were flipped. Now, and isn't this something? No, you can't look inside the machines. Okay, it's an election. Any other time you have problems with machines or computers or anything like that, you call a repairman, you come out and you look into it, or you have, if something's wrong, if there's been an intrusion in your company, and you do an audit, and you find, and we got a problem here. But there you can't, because they say you can't look in the machines. You know, it's almost like a third world country for them to say that. Oh, wait a minute, Brandon, didn't it just happen here? Three elections and maybe more elections in a row?
Yep.
Right here in the United States, don't look inside the machines, except what we tell you, one. And with that, let's bring on.
And by the way, do you want a report from Jeff O'Donnell tonight?
Why is he calling too?
He's texting.
Well, yep, he's got something. We only want good news. That's it. On this station, we put out the truth and the good news. We put out hope.
Logan.
Hope.
Logan.
Hey, you guys, when Peru, they're standing up for themselves. Brazil is. And you know what? We're gonna have some good news here on with the red people.
And in Iran, they're standing up for themselves. But sadly, 15,000 young people wanting freedom have been arrested. They're starting to execute some of them. But the movement for freedom is growing so much that the leaders in Iran are now reportedly negotiating with the leaders of Venezuela to see if they could come there to Venezuela. So apparently, there is the question whether the Iranian regime is going to fall, and the leaders, the mullahs, they'll have to flee Iran and go to Venezuela. So people are standing up in Peru, in Brazil, in Iran, and in China. They've been out in the streets like crazy. Yeah. Everybody wants freedom. Common theme here, isn't it?
Right, absolutely. But yeah, tell Jeff we'll take him towards the end of the show. We should get to the gals up there and stand right. By.
Hey, girls, welcome to the show. Glad you're with us.
Hi, good to see you.
Hi, thanks so much for having us.
All right, what do we got for awesome news? You guys, I don't even know anything about what y'all have, so I'll just tell the audience. I'm hearing this for the first time.
And by the way, I know you've sent over some graphics, so just call on it based on the numbers, and Logan will pull them up as you do.
Sounds good. Yeah, Mike, as you know, Sophie and I are really huge into public records. We've been doing deep dives across the nation for the last year and a half. We've got a lot of information that we have been spending probably 6 to 8 months at least piecing stuff together. And tonight, we just kind of wanted, with the Twitter things blowing up, the Katie Hobbs situation, we just wanted to share some things that we've gotten over the last several months, Sophie in particular. Katie Hobbs, by the way, if you want to do number one, she spent, so if people don't know, the Secretary of State in Arizona spent $4.5 million out of the $5 million CEIR gave her to combat misinformation and disinformation about the elections. That's 88%. 88% of that. There's the document right there. And, you know, I kind of have to ask myself as we're going through this information that we have, maybe she was one of the vetted SOSs in Twitter's secret portal that we have a document about, too. That would be the second one, Logan.
I want to say something here. You can put that back up, Logan. But I want to say something. For anybody watching here, to combat this is to combat what Katie Hobbs perceives as misinformation and disinformation. Does everybody understand that? So what she's saying is, in other words, it could read like this. It could read, Katie Hobbs spent $4.5 million to combat the truth about the 2020 election. You follow what I'm saying, girls?
Absolutely.
That's exactly right. The plan. That's what they wanted. Right.
That's what she did, you guys. She spent that much money to cover up. Remember, I've told everybody, this is the biggest cover up of the biggest crime in history, period. And this is just one Secretary of State spending $4.5 million on the cover up.
This money came from Mark Zuckerberg, from Facebook. We will get into Facebook later. We've got some stuff on it.
Wow. Right?
Very interesting.
Mike, we've got amazing stuff for you. We want to tell you about this secret portal that we found. Yes, this is number two, if we can get that up. Now, Twitter, CISA, the NASED, and NAS, they had these private internal memos to each other, including Twitter. The Twitter officials were on these, and they talk about this secret portal that they were going to use the secret portal to combat misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. And the participants that could be a part of this secret portal were reporters, government entities, social media companies, CISE, election offices, national associations, and these people had to be vetted by CISE and all of these agencies.
Yeah, so they had a process that if election officials wanted to be a part of it, in addition to the one Sophie just mentioned, that they would have to be vetted. In other words, they are gatekeeping. So if you're just because you're a Secretary of State doesn't mean you have access to this portal. They have to go through multiple levels of vetting through the CIS, NASS, NASED, Department of Homeland Security, and the social media platforms themselves as well. It's a vetting process to even get access to this secret portal, according to these documents.
Wow.
Yes. And what was so interesting is that they're talking about how this secret portal is going to, quote, protect 2020.
And there's questions in there where they ask, how long will this portal be retained? And what's interesting about that, Logan, if you can do the third one, is that the answer to that question was redacted as proprietary information. So how long are you going to keep this secret portal and all this, you know, misinformation, disinformation that you're doing? They redacted it. It's proprietary. That makes no sense to us.
And when things are put as proprietary, it's very, very hard to get information from public records about those things. And that, of course, is all intentional.
Right.
So, the whole problem with this, as everybody knows, is the disinformation and the misinformation is the facade they are using to hide this oppression, this censorship from all of us. And the fact that there is tangible proof of all of those government agencies in writing colluding together for this secret portal that's membership only, you have to be vetted. You know, if you're lucky enough to be a Secretary of State, which I'm sure Katie Hobbs is from what we're going to show you in a second with Arizona, it's a problem.
Well, it's very, very scary.
This is about as criminal as it comes. Any election done there, any election, even the down tickets would all be exempt. They would all be fraudulent in my mind.
Absolutely. And Mike, like you said, this is the biggest crime ever perpetrated on the American people. And the fact that our own government was in on it and leading the charge to steal the 2020 election from Donald Trump is just, it's horrendous. When we read these documents, our blood boils.
Wow.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, some of the key players in this we're finding out is Harvard. Their Belfer Center had over 5 different playbooks on how to roll this out with their Center of Science and International Affairs. CISA released an election disinformation toolkit and actually has a template on there. And I think this one, Logan, I might have sent you this one. That would be number 4, where it says, "We're in this together. Disinformation stops with you." They even came up with their own word called an infodemic with the World Health Organization. And their advice to the people, get this, everybody get your notepads out. Like, here's your advice on what to do to stop this scamdemic, pandemic, and now an infodemic.
You're gonna love this.
Number 1, rely on your government. Number 2, think twice before sharing your content online. And 3, report everything to government agencies. There's a solution right there.
Unreal. Oh, this is like 1984 stuff.
Oh yes. And let's go into Christopher Krebs. I'll just give a teeny bit of background. He, in 2018, President Donald Trump appointed him to be the first director of DHS's cybersecurity and infrastructure, so CISA. And in his role as director, Mr. Krebs worked for the supposed security of cyber and physical infrastructure. I mean, it's a huge joke, right? And we find it very fun that Mr. Krebs is very, very good friends with Katie Hobbs, Jenna Griswold, Jocelyn Benson,
and
Kim Wyman. And they share quite a few internal memos together and do quite a few projects together.
In fact, those Secretary of States from those states, and there's some more too, New Jersey, Nevada, Michigan, Maine, Connecticut, Colorado, Arizona, all of those Secretary of States were part of the people who signed on to nominate Christopher Krebs for the 2021 Margaret Chase Smith American Democracy Reward. And I find it hilarious almost that he was the only one that was still alive that was even nominated. These people, like some of them were people like a centuries old going on. And he gets nominated for this reason. And I quote from this nomination they all signed, for his efforts to combat mis and disinformation for the 2020 election.
Unbelievable. Well, here, I want to tell everybody a little bit, if they didn't know Chris Krebs. You guys, Chris Krebs, everybody in our audience has been, we've talked about him many, many, many times because he's the one that came out in November of 2020 and said it was the most secure election ever, okay? Then, 3 months later, everybody, he was on, I think it was Morning Joe, and he was with Adam Schiff and Chris Krebs. They were asked, what is the biggest threat to our country right now? And Chris Krebs said, a cyber attack, right down to our local elections. Remember that, Brandon? But yeah, but anyway, he's not there. But that's when he said that.
Say it again, Mike. What was the question?
It's okay. You guys having Chris Krebs and friends with Katie Hobbs and Jenna Griswold. You can't make this stuff up. We're talking about Chris Krebs, granted.
Yeah, he's the one that he's the one that told us we had the safest election ever, and then came on. What was it? MSNBC or one of them? And he was with Adam Schiff and said they could be hacked down to the local election.
And this is the biggest part that we want to get across to people listening. Mr. Krebs, who kept on saying, I ran the safest election, the most beautiful, wonderful, amazing election. He was the one that established hashtag Protect 2020. Now, if you start looking into that initiative, you start realizing that this is the planned out playbook that these people in our own government used to set up the structures that are now in place to steal every election that they want to. And that's exactly what they did. They brought in the social platforms, Twitter and Facebook. They brought in the cybersecurity tech experts to make sure that from this point on, they would never, ever have a Donald Trump type person win another election.
In fact, we have their draft strategic plan in November of 2019. And in it, they address three challenges. They said, so this is CISA we're talking about. They said that they are countering the threat of disinformation. Again, this is right at the time of the election. And I found this one interesting. Clarifying how CISA is to support political campaigns. Wow. I don't think a government agency has a right being involved in a political campaign, but maybe I'm missing something.
Absolutely they don't. Wow, unbelievable.
And then the last one, and prioritizing outreach to local jurisdictions. Now, as we've read these communications and these internal memos, it is fascinating how the people at Twitter, the people in Facebook, they are on the same team with these government agencies to steal elections and from the American people. I mean, they're one and the same.
Well, and some of the communications show that not only were they trying to protect 2020, they were trying to, quote, protect the census, because we all know that's where a lot of these inflated voter rolls get their information, and also to protect it from Trump. So what ends up happening is this Protect 2020 hashtag fit hand in glove with the National Association of Secretaries of State movement, which is running parallel. Which is Trusted Info, right? Trusted Info 2020, where they were promoting themselves as the only credible source, if you're lucky enough to be, you know, vetted by all these people. So what we wanted to show you today, Mike, was Sophie was able to get some meeting minutes from the CISA Advisory Committee. And in March 29th, we have a bunch of these, but the March 29th meeting is particularly interesting because their guest is Stephen Richer of Maricopa County.
What?
Yep.
Yes. Let's see. Logan, can you pull up number 5?
No, you don't. Sorry.
Okay. So in this, the chair of this department
Logan,
just said.
Logan,
so you
expand know, it. Expand it, Logan, so people at home can read it.
The chair of this department is Dr. Kate Starbird. She is the co-founder of the University of Washington's Center for an Informed Public, which they admit to a shared mission of resisting strategic misinformation. Okay, so she's all about, she's got her PhD and anything about the abuse and manipulation of misinformation, or in other words, anybody who's trying to expose truth is on her radar, right? Yes. We have Twitter's lawyer here in this meeting.
Hey, this is huge for all of those that are part of the Twitterverse, because she is all over Twitter right now. So Vijaya Gaddy, who was the attorney that almost single-handedly decided what Americans could say and couldn't say on Twitter back when Jack Dorsey owned it, is in this meeting with Stephen Richer. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, and also, why is J.P. Morgan Chase having somebody in that meeting? I think that's a little odd, too. And, you know, we have documentation for that. But Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer is in the meeting. He was named the Republican politician of the year in Arizona, the very first year he's in. That's pretty impressive. And he's responsible with being over Maricopa County's elections. That's 62% of Arizona's vote in his hands. Okay. So this is who is in the meeting with Twitter, JP Morgan,
CISA,
Homeland Security, you know, all of these people trying to figure out how to stop the disinformation. So Richard comes in and he claims he's dealing with misinformation. He gives Gateway Pundit as an example. He claims he's dealing with disinformation, which is, he said somebody doctored an image of a tweet one time. And then you're going to really love this one. And malinformation. By the way, this committee is called MDM. That's what it stands for. Misinfo, disinfo, and malicious info. His example for malicious info is, I'm quoting, abuse of permissive public record requests.
So
that's malicious.
Oh, the fact, wow.
The people... So he's claiming that the people of Maricopa County, the people of Arizona that want information and they want transparency on their elections are malicious people that want malicious information. That's basically what he's saying.
What's his also, first name?
Stephen. Stephen Richter. Stephen Richter.
I just got to get the name right because I'm going to put him on the, that he just made the top three traders in United States history. Right there with Robin Voss and Brad Raffenberger
you'll love this.
He might be number one by the time you guys get done talking here.
Yes. Well, he's a lawyer. He's suggesting to this CISA advisory committee that they work with members of Congress on what's going on. And this is the greatest part here ever. This is a quote again. He is asking for CISA's expertise. Okay, this is his request from this meeting to identify and articulate how a more sophisticated deep fake could happen. Did that involve Carrie Lake, you think? Why is he asking back in March their help on articulating and identifying deep fakes?
Yeah, it's mind boggling. Is unreal.
And Mike, we know what's going on and we know the fight that Carrie Lake is willing to take on, including in the courts. So we find this very interesting that in that meeting, Richard identified the judiciary as key components of the 2020 election in upholding the truth and process.
And this is particularly like personal to Sophie and I, because as you know, December of 2021, we filed a lawsuit for CVRs. I don't know, it might've been the first one. I'm not even sure, I'm pretty sure. But we filed that lawsuit and our judge recently just said, in an age of misinformation, the damage is done if we give you copies of reports. In other words, he says that it's inviting significant mischief. He is following the same Kool-Aid, you know, drinking the same Kool-Aid as all these people. And what these people are doing from you know, Facebook to Twitter to the government agencies, it's really brainwashing, I think, all these people in key positions that they've identified, including the judges.
It's bizarre.
And you have to ask yourself, you know, we have no proof of this, but if you have a secret portal and you get to decide who is part of that secret portal, what is to say that no one from the judiciary is part of the secret portal? I mean, you can run it any way you want, right? You've got the government and all of its resources running a secret portal.
Especially when your draft charter says you are going to be involved in political campaigns.
That's campaign violations too. If you're able to censor whatever you want. I want to tell everybody here too, we're talking about Arizona and Carrie Lake, by the way, I want to give everybody some good update here, some hope. The lawyers tomorrow will be filing the big challenge, the big lawsuit of this election down in the Carrie Lake, the whole election down there in Arizona. I want to bring up a couple of things about that too. Remember, the two other counties down there, that Cochise and Mojave, that were not going to certify. Remember, everybody that's watching, they had threats, including death threats. They had threats of being sued by Katie Hobbs, of being arrested. So they, out of fear, they finally, and one of them even says, he said, I was getting him protection, everything, but they're going, you know what, we're going to, I'm going to certify under duress. I was threatened. And then the other county, the guy left the state. I mean, they're afraid for their families. They're just doing their job and saying, hey, we want to see the truth here. We had machines all over Arizona, all over Maricopa, glitch at the same time in the morning at 9:30. I mean, this is unbelievable. And but I want to also throw the RNC under the bus here too. You guys know I'm running for the chairman of the RNC. And
Mike, and we're putting your name out everywhere in Utah. And I just want to tell you that every single person I listen to and I talk with, it would be their dream come true if you're the RNC chair, honestly.
Well, thank you. And everyone I've contacted in the RNC so far has been, and it's, I think it's upwards of 40. All of them have said that they are not voting for Rana. And most of them have said they've committed to vote for me. I haven't even asked them for a full commitment. And then you have Hermit that's in there too. Some of them said, well, I've already committed there or whatever. She needs to be stopped. What she did to Arizona, well, let's just give her report card. 2018 F, 2020 F, 2022 a big F. Okay, and if you're a CEO of a company, or a coach of a football team, or I don't care what it is, you are fired. You're 0-3. And then you could add in the runoffs in Georgia, the Senate runoffs in 21 and now, and there's two more apps, okay? So when you grade Rana, what she did in Arizona was horrific. The RNC came down to Arizona and said, we'll hire the lawyers, because this is, this is absolutely crazy that the machines don't work. They broke so many laws, and you have to have a new election. So they they said they were going to pay for all the attorneys and hire them, and they told them they were hired, that they were going to pay for it. Well, then as soon as they heard the relief would be having a new election, they grabbed up, they pulled the stakes, headed over to Georgia and said, hey, donors, give us more money we got Herschel over here. Everybody throw in money. The more money you put in, we're going to win this time. You lost again. You better change the input if you expect a different output. But shame on the RNC for once again abandoning America First candidates, which they did all through this election. They abandoned them. Do you know in Ronna McDaniel's home state, she didn't even congratulate Matt DiPerno and Christina Caramo. I don't know if she did Tudor Dixon or not, but she didn't even congratulate them for winning their primaries and or getting behind them. It's just disgusting. Anyway, there's an update, everybody. Tomorrow, everybody, big news will come out. They've been working on this for over a month now. This thing is over, I think it's upwards of 400 pages of things that were broken. Hundreds and hundreds of affidavits from people and the corruption that went on and the cheating that went on. These guys in Maricopa County, how many times are they going to pull their stunt and put paper over the windows and don't let people in there to watch what they do? It's disgusting.
Hey, Mike, we want to get to Brazil tonight. Can we show you a couple more things?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the other things that we found in the CISA records again was on April 12th in that meeting, they actually, and this is number 6, Logan, the third bullet point on there talks about the committee discussions. They want to figure out a way to partner with the government to catalyze the availability of trusted information without being seen as government propaganda.
And that's a direct quote.
And in other words, another part in this same document shows that they suggest designating the ISACs as the clearinghouse for information to avoid the appearance of government propaganda. That's in their own writing. It's in their own meeting minutes. And they're talking frequently about how do we pretend that we are public education instead of rumor control? Lots of things. But the June 14th meeting was another interesting one for Arizona.
Yes. And they held this meeting and they had conversations with Maricopa Maricopa and Arizona election officials, and they were talking about how they needed to reach out to the Brennan Center to discuss issues of surveillance and monitoring. And guess who was saying that? None other than Vijaya Gadde. Can't say her name.
Right. Twitter. Twitter's attorney was there. She didn't say that, but she affirmed the course of action. In other words, they were discussing Maricopa County specifically in June 14th meeting, saying, what do we do with this? You know, with the Arizona election officials. And Twitter's there right on board with their lawyer saying, you know, let's do it. Let's surveil, let's monitor. And that's number seven, Logan. Sorry about that. A little bit late on the draw there. But I mean, think about this. We've got this committee, right? That is all of these key agencies meeting with one county secretary of state, a crucial county with Kerry Lake's election, with calling Donald Trump early, you know, all of, or not for Donald Trump, but calling the election early. There's a lot of power in Stephen Richards' hand. That's 62% of all of Arizona, right?
Yes.
Wow. Unreal.
So we wanted to go into Brazil a little bit, if you get a chance.
Let's talk about Brazil, because Brazil, everybody, you know, when you just put up censor there, this is what's, you know, when we talk about cyber and everything, and you know, when you talk about the biggest crime in history, I almost think that the biggest cover up in history is even bigger, because where does it end? I can't believe you gals even get through to find this stuff.
Well, Mike, and I'm so sorry to interrupt, but there is one thing that we wanted to talk to you about. And this is actually number nine. And this is very, very important, because it went all over the United States, and it was used as code, in our opinion, to fight Donald Trump. But anyway, CISA puts out PDF or this document, and they try to liken what Russia and people outside influences, how they are trying to destroy democracy and pit us against each other. And so they wanted to describe what they thought these outside actors were using to make us believe that our elections were not beautiful, perfect, clean, fair, all of that. And so they called it hashtag war on pineapple. And so we have our very own government agency using this hashtag called war on pineapple.
And by the way, it's pineapple pizza they're talking about, which is kind of an interesting, hopefully there's no ties to Pizzagate on that one, but saying that pineapple doesn't belong on pizza.
Or maybe it does
if you're on the wrong side of the fence. I mean, yes. You know, they're throwing it out. They're saying our country is divided because of pineapple. And I can't help but think maybe that's a reference to Donald Trump.
The hair and the stem, but just maybe.
Look at the orange. But there is another a tweet on number 10, Logan. You want to read this one, Sophie?
Yeah, this is from the cybersecurity, the actual CISA Twitter account. And it says, the force works every day to defend and secure the galaxy and our nation from Darth Pineapple and other cyber threats. This is our most desperate hour. Join us. And this is 5/4 of 2020. And we just find it so interesting. Like, why these weird hashtags and a little bit coded information, coded labels to be used to fight misinformation.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're getting a lot of stuff that we've been digging through lately on the Facebook thing. I know Facebook gets a lot of flack with, you know, the Zuckerbucks and earlier on with their censorship, but they are still heavily involved in these discussions and doing a lot of this stuff. And Meta, which is now, you know, Facebook and Instagram, they actually put out an approach to the 2022 midterms bragging that they are now removing 15 times more content across Facebook and Instagram than when they first began reporting on elections in 2017. I mean, that's horrific.
I'm looking at my Hey, I'm looking at my Facebook Live right here. You guys don't know. I used to have, I don't know, 500,000 people and 30,000, 50,000 watching at a time. I have 130. 130. Okay.
I believe it. But check this out. So we have the documents number 11, where they are talking about their ads are not having a policy where you cannot do political ads the week before the election in United States, Brazil, Italy, and Israel here. And not just ads about it. You can't even call into question the legitimacy of an upcoming or ongoing election. You can't even do premature claims of election victory, which I think, you know, people even on the left have done that. So that's very interesting. But
where is this from? This is from Facebook, right?
Yes.
Meta.
This is from Meta.
And
this
was, I forgot about this. Do you guys realize before the 2020 election, a couple of weeks before the 2020 election, I could not, now wrap your head around this, no MyPillow ads could go on Facebook if I was in the ad. So I couldn't be holding a pillow. They completely scrubbed my image. I had to from all commercials or images going on Facebook to sell MyPillow products. I mean,
Mike,
is that...
You're that threatening to them and you're that dangerous to them because you know the truth. So they couldn't have you on there.
Well, let's put up number 12 really quick. Listen to this though, Mike. We found this with Meta. This is what they are admitting to what they have done in 2022. They have worked to protect the integrity of Brazil's election. Can you imagine that? And look at this document. They're saying that over the last 3 years, we have handled, what do they mean by handled?
That scares me. That's a scary word. That word scares me.
We have handled more than 200 elections around the world. I think that's an admission of guilt.
Yes.
Right there. But anyway, they've handled over 200 elections. And among the actions in Brazil, we removed more than 140,000 pieces of content for Brazil's elections. That's a lot.
Wow.
A lot there.
Well, they tried to hide the truth, I really believe that Mark Zuckerberg will end up in prison right behind those melted down machine prison bars, him and Jack Dorsey and the whole gang. What he's done there, what they did to Brazil, see, one of the thing about Brazil, they only have two conservative outlets. Two, that's it. You know, and the rest. So they have all the media. And now you just showed with Facebook there. But we just, you know, what a blessing that over in Brazil, the people don't even, they can't even wrap their head around it. They know 20 million votes were taken. 20 million from Bolsonaro. So there's a lot of hope there. But Mark, you know, you got to think, where is Mark Zuckerberg? Where is his head? Does he just want to be part of the world takeover? Obviously, people ask me all the time, well, who's doing this? And here's what I tell them. The CCP, the Uniparty, the deep state, and the globalists. This cabal, is that what you guys are? I mean, that's what I believe. I mean, that's, you know, you've been investigating for 2 years too.
Absolutely. And let's not forget the leftist NGOs, Mike, that they took the Zuckerbucks and, I mean, they bought election machines for the 2020 elections, these leftist NGOs for counties all across America. They bought ballots for counties. They bought automatic signature verification machines. They bought satellite buildings to count ballots. So these NGOs, I think, they must be lumped in with the deep state, all of those. Right. I mean, yeah.
We'll add that right to the list.
Mike, one other thing really quick. It's something small, but it was interesting to us. Sophie was able to get text messages from the Surgeon General on his private phone to Facebook's manager, one of the top managers in Facebook. And they were literally talking about how thrilled they are to be members of this cybersecurity collaborative to start, I don't know, my word is surveilling, and, you know, controlling this information. And they're talking about, you know, how they want to start stopping the disinformation and, you know, Rob Silvers and, you know, how CISA is doing operations. I mean, it's crazy to have the Surgeon General at this point that's just thrilled beyond
absolutely.
Words.
Absolutely. Hey, girls, thank you. We've got to get, appreciate you guys. Give us your website because we got to get a quick update from Jeff O'Donnell. What's your website, guys? Great job, by the way.
TwoRedPills.org.
Great. TwoRedPills.org. Thank you, girls.
Thanks a lot, girls.
Ladies, girls. I don't know. Maybe it's politically incorrect to say girls. I don't know. Let's
you say gals, girls, ladies. It don't matter. This
good.
Station.
Yeah, good deal. Jeff O'Donnell, you're welcome to the Lindell Report.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, guys. I'm live on location in the People's Republic of Georgia right now as we speak.
All right. We've got 5 minutes.
I always have good news for you, Mike. I always have good news for you. And the good news is, no matter what they do, we catch them now. We catch them in minutes rather than months now. Right. And absolutely, you know, we're looking at the Georgia, the runoff that just happened. You know, a couple of things I wanted to point out that are interesting about that. And again, if you take a look at the runoff that just happened and the Warnock-Loeffler race in the runoff in 2021, they're within 0.3% of each other. Think about that. You have a completely different candidate, and you get pretty much the same result, nearly the same vote differential. That is extremely odd. They did something different in the runoff than they did in the November election. You can tell by looking at even the data that we have. They held back mail-in or absentee. Mail-in or early. We're not entirely sure which they are because we don't have those breakdowns yet. But it appears that in the runoff, they held back in at least some of the big counties. Those numbers, the mail-ins, the ones that would be, you would look at and expect to be higher for Warnock, instead of in the first half of the counting like they did in November, they did it in the last half of the counting. And I'll tell you this, at 10:08, according to CNN data from Edison, at 10:08 p.m., Walker was leading, a thin lead, but he was leading. And then they announced all these networks started announcing for Warnock, and I'm looking, what the heck is going on? And then bang!
Yeah, they announced that they declared him the winner. They were saying he was going to win. Is that what you're saying?
I went back. They were declaring. I went back and I looked at the latest numbers, and Walker still had a slight lead. And then bang! Within the next half hour, here comes all these huge, three vote dumps that were favorable to Warnock, and there was your difference in the election. Like I said, at 10:08.
How many came in at that time in that short a period of time? Was it tens of thousands or what? What came in a very short period of time at 10:08?
Oh, it was if I remember correctly, a couple hundred thousand votes.
A couple hundred thousand, everybody. And we told you here the other night that approximately 200,000 votes were stolen and flipped, which would put Walker winning by 100,000+. And
absolutely.
So what you're saying matches our other report we got, Jeff.
Yeah, they did. It does. And they went back to the old-fashioned dump at the end that they didn't do in 2020 and did not do in the November 8th, not the same way. It was a little different, but they didn't do it. Well, they just went back and they just dumped what they needed at the end. Just like the old days. So we're having an effect. We're making them make changes, Mike. And when they make changes, it's just showing what they're doing. So
Jeff, do you have a need or have you got cast vote record requests here? We'll put it out while you're on the phone here or while you're on our show. Everybody, go get your FOIA request in, your Freedom of Information Act. Get your, how could they reach out and get the, if they've never done it before, the cast vote record, do you have a website, Jeff, where they can pull that from and get it for their own county?
Sure do. If they go to my website, magaraccoon.com, magaraccoon.com, right near the top, after the Jimmy Kimmel shout out to my site, you will find a it's actually called CVRs for Dummies, but it has information. It should have all the information you need. If you need more information, there's a link to my Telegram group in which we help people all the time, as far as how to respond if you get rejected. And they are starting to come in for the November already. We've got a number of counties in Georgia, quite a few,
right,
for that. And I know now the requests for the runoff are in. Right. So, yeah.
And I want everyone to know, Jeff, and I want everyone to know we're out of time, but I want everyone to know everything Jeff's done. He's leading the charge, everybody, for a year, for all the cyber team that I have. Jeff is leading the charge, getting these records together. And I want to tell everybody, we have over 50 lawsuits across this country by citizens and people like all across our country that care about our country, that to get these election platforms changed, to get them someday to paper hand counted, like the Netherlands and UK and Germany and France. We want to save our country. And Jeff, you're amazing, and our country owes you so much, and God bless you.
That's the Lindell Report. That's the Lindell Report. Don't forget to support Mike Lindell's work by going to MyPillow.com. Use that promo code L77, deep savings. Do the bulk of your Christmas shopping there. Use that promo code L77. Sheets, towels, blankets, bed, beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, hats, so many things there. And then MyStore.com, the home for American entrepreneurs, started by Mike Lindell. A lot of great products there as well. Use that same promo code for savings, L77. And at the same time, you're supporting the work of Mike Lindell, all those employees working hard, and Lindell TV. Thanks for watching. Take care.
You're watching Lindell TV.